Welcome to the King's Anywhere podcast, inspirational teaching, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whenever you're ready.
The dad, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. I'm going to let you read the background in the notes. Needless to say, that was from 2 Timothy. If you had one letter, one way to communicate to your dearest loved people about what was important in life, what would you write in it? I tell you what you would do. You would do something. If you love Jesus, you would do something like Paul wrote to Timothy. This was Paul's last letter. He knows his time is short. He has got to communicate to his friend, who he regards as a son, the most important things that a human being can do with their life. Fight the fight, run the race, live for Jesus. That's what 2 Timothy is about. It's an incredible letter, and I'm so thankful that God in his wisdom saved that letter so that we can have access to it. I'm not going into the background of it. We don't know if Timothy got the letter in time to be able to get to Paul before Nero killed him. We don't know. It's not recorded in church history, not recorded in the Bible. 11 years after this letter was written, Timothy himself in Ephesus was martyred. He ran out into his city and said, "Don't do this evil thing. Don't do what you are doing. Turn to Jesus." The people didn't like what he was saying, so they stoned him. And I wonder if the last sentence that went through Timothy's mind was that of his dear mentor, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Because I hope that is your hope, because that is definitely mine. Because we're in a fight. This is not easy, is it, being a Christian in a world that doesn't love Jesus? It's not an easy thing. And Paul is right to use, it's a fight. So, we know that Jesus, that everything in every way will be subject to his name. There is nothing in the earth, on the earth, under it, above it, there is nothing greater than Jesus. Nothing. Right? Jesus has won. Right? Right from the start, Jesus has won. But his victory for me means that I have a responsibility. I have rights. I am an ambassador of Christ. I'm a dearly loved child of God. I'm a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. I'm all of these things, but I have responsibility. The responsibility to run the race, to fight the good fight, to finish well. Training's the key. So I decided to look at this slightly different. Rather than use the Bible and build it up myself, I decided to use a publication, and you'll follow it in your notes, How to Prepare to Run Your First Marathon. And I took the 5 points from that, and we will quickly, I assure you, very quickly go through it. Training's key. And the same is true for the Christian life. Training is key. I cannot get my wife to go and run up and around the block, and me sit at home watching the telly, and somehow that all that hard work could be passed to me. It doesn't work like that. That's not how running works. If it did, I would have run the marathon many, many years ago. But it doesn't work like that. You've got to put the work in yourself. You cannot run someone else's race. The muscle memory needs to be yours, not somebody else's. So how do Christians develop their muscle memory? They know the truth. They read the Bible. They know the truth. They know what God says. And they choose to align themselves with it. So they read the Bible. It says here, start at an easy pace. Good advice. Don't, when you become a Christian, think, I'm going to read the entire Bible. I'm going to do it in 3 months. Right? Because what you will do, like runners, is you will get tired. The pace will fall off and you'll become disheartened. Now, read your Bible, but I will read the Bible in a way, because I've loved and followed Jesus for quite a while, in a different way to someone that is starting off reading the Bible. So if you are new to the Christian faith, you just concentrate on Jesus. You just concentrate on the Gospels. You soak that up, right? You worry about other things later when you're ready to go jogging with the apostles, or if you want to go running with St. John in the book of Revelations. That's great, but you pick a pace that works for you, that you can do it repetitively and build resilience. The other thing that you need to do is to not just know the truth, you need to know the truth giver. And you do that with prayer. There is no shortcut with it. Knowing God, or knowing about God, and not knowing God is a crime. You can know, you can read the Bible and quote it. And I'm sure there's people out there that know the Bible far better than me. It is useless unless you know the truth giver. You've got to pray. Prayer is conversation. It's not giving God your shopping list. Right? Don't fall into that mistake that so many people fall into. It's saying, God, I'm here, I'm reading your Bible, I'm trying to align my heart with your heart. I want to be known and I want to be submitted to what you want me to do. And you can only do that in prayer. There is no other shortcut. The last thing, we've got Bible, prayer, and application. If you know the truth and you know the heart of God, you will know these words. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Love your enemies. Forgive people. These are easy words. Easy words. So difficult to do. Impossible. Impossible to do in your own strength. Impossible. But in the strength that Jesus has given you, possible. You can love your enemies. You can forgive people that have hurt you. You can stand in a dark world because of everything that Jesus has won for you on the cross. Pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. You could preach 40 minutes on that. Two words. Pray continually. Am I, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, that loves Jesus, am I praying continually? That does not mean that we all become a monastic order in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are encloseted away in prayer. What it means is that when I'm walking around work, I'm praying to Jesus. It means when I'm walking to my ward, when I walk into a classroom, I'm saying, look, God, what do you want me to do? I found myself praying for a classroom of scallies, if you use that word up here, because I had nothing else. I was out. I was completely out. So I'm sat there and I'm thinking, God, help these kids. Help these kids. These kids need you. They lead such chaotic lives. These kids know you. And I know there's other teachers in the room that do the same. Wherever you are, you're walking into a group of friends. Pray for them if they don't need to know. Pray continually. It's not a shopping list. Right. Incorporate strength training. Here we go. This is going to speed up now, so get ready. I made a mistake when I was a young Christian. I took a test that told me I was a teacher. I am a teacher. That's not a mistake. That's what God's made me. That's great. The mistake that I made was, well, if I'm a teacher, someone else can do the evangelism. That's the mistake I made. Right, I'll just be really, really clear. That mistake stayed with me for nearly 20 years. I'm this, so someone else can do that. That's not what we are being called to. As Christians, we are called to be Christ-like. We are not called to be functions, right? Please understand what I'm saying, right? God is calling you to be, the Holy Spirit is working in you to turn you into more like Jesus. He's making it so that I can become a better teacher, but he's also taking the things in me that are weak and making it more Christ-like. My parents are there, so I know I can't pick myself up because they know exactly what I'm like. When I was a kid, read up to 51, I'm a very stingy person. Stingy, is that a word? Yeah. My dad once asked me, he was going for a walk, "John Mark, how much money have you got in your left pocket?" 13.5p, Dad. "John Mark, how much you've got in your right pocket?" 46p, Dad. I know money, okay? And what God had to do with me, he had to take that weakness of it's mine, not yours, and he had to show me that God was more important than money. Right, isn't it funny? I've got a friend who's got a saying, the last thing in a person's life to get saved is their wallet. Isn't that funny? It's funny because it's half true. Yeah. I'm not going to go any more about that, but incorporate strength training in your life. Find out what God has called you to do and be the best that you can be, and find out what God wants to develop in your life and develop it. Go on that journey with the Holy Spirit. Number three, I'm going to leave to a video. If we could throw the video, please. Thank you, the light. Welcome to Derek. Derek was an English runner, 400 meter runner, popped his hamstring. The guy that ran on was his dad, Jim. Derek finished the race with his dad. Derek had made a promise to his dad that no matter what happened, he was going to finish the race. Derek kept his promise. No matter what happens, Dad, I will finish this race. Jim, seeing that his son was in trouble, could not help himself but to run onto that track and put his arm around him. That is the church. That is me and you. Heroes don't wear capes. They're dad runners like Jim that put their arms around people that are struggling and by whatever means get them over the finish line and win the race. What you can't tell in that version is 65,000 people standing in the applause and applauding them in. Now, in my analogy, that's the whole of heaven standing, applauding Derek for finishing his race. And I applaud Jim and any Christian who puts their arms around somebody when they are hurting and gets them across the finish line. Don't come to church and think, I didn't get much out of it today. You come to church and you help someone across that finish line. That's what Jesus has called you to do. He's not come here that this is somehow some form of Americans Got Talent and that you're going to give me the golden buzzer or that is not what church is. Church is about helping people get across the finish line. You do that with great joy. You help people. Fuel your body correctly. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You will not be able to run this race that God has called you to do in your own strength. You have got to do it in the strength of the Holy Spirit. So the words there, is to be filled, means all the time. Don't run out. Don't go empty. In your prayer, in your study, keep going to Jesus. Keep going to the Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord. Help me. Point me in the right direction. Don't let me go. Don't pass me by. Lord, get me ready for today so I can do what you have called me to do. Don't skimp on it. Don't try and run this race without the Holy Spirit. Because you will hit the wall and you will fall on your face. And if you feel as if you're running on empty, then you get in front of the Holy Spirit and you say, I need you so much. And he is faithful, even when we're not. It's a nice thing in Timothy. If you're struggling as a Christian, and if you think that you're not worthy, you read yourself to Timothy. Make sure you're using the right gear. This has already been said. Marathon runners are running 26 miles. They don't carry around a shopping bag, Marks and Spencer sandwiches. It's just not what they don't do it. As Christians, we shouldn't do that either. We're running a race. We're running a race for Jesus. We've got to cast off the stuff that entangles us. Let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles. Let's run the race well without tripping over stuff that we should have dealt with and got rid of. And then finally, I'm going to leave the last few words to my mother-in-law, Claire, who said, "Don't let this funeral be about how good I've been, but let it be good about how good God has been to me." Isn't that a race ran well? This is not a story about me. This is a story about what God has done for me. I hope that at the end of my race, at the end of my time here, that I will be able to have someone say, "John Mark, he was all right. He's Jesus on the other hand. Whoa, Jesus is amazing. Let me tell you about Jesus." That will be a life well led and a race well run. I'm just going to go with her final song, and I'm just going to say it. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Lord, your mercy is so great that you look beyond our weaknesses and find purest gold in miry clay, turning sinners into saints. Hallelujah. When I will always sing your praise here on earth and ever after, for you've shown me heaven's my true home. When it's all been said and done, you're my life when life is gone. It is my genuine prayer, not just for the new members, it's for my genuine prayer and my hope for everyone here, that you will take Paul's advice, that you will run the race well, that you will determine in your heart that no matter what happens to me, I am getting across that finish line. And you just make it your mission to help as many people as you can to get across with you. God bless you. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To find out more about King's Church Warrington, visit our website or find us on Facebook and Instagram.